Blog Talk Radio.
Serving up the beats and making it hot.
Making it hot.
It's DJ IQ.
the catwalk.
Hello. Hi, everybody. I guess I'm on the air. What's going on, Kelly? You can get Derek on so we can get this segment started. Real something nice so we don't run over tonight. So, how's everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio? Derek.
Hello.
Yeah, Derek.
Hi.
Okay, so what tonight, when you had called me, you said you wanted to talk about what again?
Well,
I have an idea. I just want to make sure that you clarify to everybody.
And this is Derek. Just giving a shout-out to everybody in Ball World. And just to continue the momentum of what was good, our conversation that was actually we were having last week, which a lot of people hit me up on Facebook about, when it was terms of we were speaking about categories and stuff. So just to keep the continuum, the momentum going, Cabbage, for your show, me and you discussed about let's have this conversation with the community about things that happened, you know, in the past. And I wanted to title it Bitch, I Remember When, you know.
Right.
And Bitch, I Remember When is about fantastic things that happened in the ballroom scene, no matter what city you lived in, what ball it was, who it was, this, that, and the third. You could speak about yourself, you could speak about others, things that you actually witnessed, because there's a lot of things that have happened in different cities that other people may not be aware of that actually happened that were just really just as momentum as anything else. And,
right.
And also it becomes a history lesson because just like how pictures are posted up on Facebook and people get to see things and they make comments about it, well, we'll do it just verbally, you know? And the only restriction is that basically you can't talk about anything that's happened in the past 5 years. It has to be 5 years and back. So anything from 2005 and back, just basically when you get on the, you know, when you get on the show, you just say, bitch, I remember when, blah, 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 blah. Or if you're the masculine, you just say, yo, I remember when, blah, 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 blah. And just basically speak about it and say what it did to you or what it how it impacted you and what you liked about it or what you didn't like about it, you know? Just don't know what that is. So that's why I think that the show should just, we should have fun with this show tonight because now we'll have callers calling in, you know?
Okay, so now for an example, okay, so I'm going to give everybody an example. What was an inspiration to me or what made me feel that the ballroom was for me is when I saw Rodney Ebony, which was an Ebony at that time, and Stevie St. Laurent battle. When I'm telling you, battle at the Mark Ballroom, at the Elks Lodge. And when I tell you this, the first time I ever seen two people battle in shoes, dress shoes.
Right.
They were so graceful.
Right.
It had so much poise to it. It was a different kind of performance. When I tell you right then and there, I was like, I want to be like them. And this was many, 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 many years ago.
Yeah, that's probably Cabbage. That's probably exactly, probably 24 to 25 years ago. Exactly.
Right. Okay. So that's something that's what I'm looking for. So if you got any callers on here, I tried to get Eric Muglia on here that now lives in Miami, Florida. Well, I can say lives in Florida, which I've seen a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. But I could not get her number, but trust me, by next week, I'm definitely going to get Eric's number and ask Eric to come on and give us some of his feelings about how ballroom is going and how ballroom has turned out and how ballroom is so different than the way it used to be, and especially in Florida.
Right. And definitely that would be a pleasure to be on that show because Eric is the first person that ever said anything to me, which a lot of people don't know, anything to me ever about a house, the first person in 85. Like, we, you know, during those days, hanging out on the pier, so on and so forth, and Eric came up to me, and he was like, are you in a house? And I was like, a house? What is a house? You know what I'm saying? This is like the beginning of 85, and I'm just like, what's a house? And he broke it down, you know, da-da-da. And he was like, well, I think you should be in a house. And I was like, and he said, and I think that, you know, your category should be schoolboy realness. And I said, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know anything. All I knew about was Voguing. And Voguing was from seeing Danny Extravaganza, you know, of course, was always out. The Extravaganzas were always out on the pier. You remember that, Cabin. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, of course. Miss Bianca and Miss Melissa
and
Miss Danny and them. They used to give shows out there.
And Mark Ninja, and all of seeing them, that's all I knew was basically just seeing Rogan, but Eric was the first person that confronted me about house and ballroom, and he broke it down. And it's just so funny that soon after that, that's when I ended up becoming right in the House of Pandora. It's like no sooner than, when I say after that, like weeks later, I end up being inducted in the House of Pandora, you know, by Kim and David. So it's so funny that Eric was the first person that ever confronted me because I didn't know anything about it. So that's my endearment definitely to Eric, and I can't wait to actually get on this show because for him to get on this show. But I want to start off, I want to kick off too, and I'm going to do it in a technique style of my bitch, I remember when, you know? And I'm going to do it like, and I'm going to do it like this, and I want everyone to do it their own way, but basically when they actually come on, just start it off with bitch, I remember when, blah, 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 or you know, if you really were, you said, yo, I remember when, you know, you want to include everybody because everyone, Cabbage, you know, has a story to tell, you know.
Of course. And we want to hear it.
And you want to hear it because there's something, because somebody said, oh, my God, I forgot about that. I remember that, too, you know.
Right, exactly.
Right. And so I'm going to break it down like this in terms of cities, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to pick a moment in a city. You know, I'm going to pick a moment. I'm going to go down cities of hot ballroom. And I'm going to save New York for last because New York is the mecca. You know what I'm saying? But I'll start off with this. I remember when the House of Martin. I remember when New Jersey and when the House of Montana debuted at the Jordan Pendarvis Awards Ball, the first Awards Ball in 88. And it was, as people were at all, it was Coffee, CC, and D, three members. And
right. They
were done, and Coffee and CC was in Chanel, dripping, you know what I'm saying? And D was in Gaultier. And I remember everyone was just like, wow, the House of Montana. No one knew about it. It was just so unexpected. And remember, they were originally Laubasias, you know?
Right, with Chrissy.
And it was just like, wow. And it was the first time that it was a house that was just strictly fashion labels. That's all they were, and that's all they ever was. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They weren't anything else other than that, than just fashion, to see a fashion house completely, and just the way they were done. And when they came out, everyone, I remember that ballroom, and it was, and I say Jersey, and I speak, it was at the Irving Canal, you know, and it was mm-hmm. the awards ball, and it was called the Jordan Pendarvis Award because Hakeem was a Jordan and Bobby was a Pendarvis, you
right.
know?
Okay, Derek, hold on just a second. We have one caller that Kelly keeps telling me that
right.
we have this caller. Caller 347-258. Are you there?
Hello? Hello, hey, Mom, this is Eric Ebony. How you doing?
Hi, baby. What's going on? Do you have a moment that you can think of 5 years ago that just made you, like, wowed you?
5 years and back. Anything from 2005, that's how we're going to go. And you started off with Bitch, I Remember When, or Yo, I Remember When, and just give you a story about it.
I remember when we first started Realness with a Twist, when it was like a Kiki Palm thing with me and Bobby Mizrahi. And we was like the top two actually in New York that usually called us out for, like, let's just start stuff. And what made it more for me to actually get involved in it, when they used to do Legend Statements on balls and stuff like that, then it gives everybody a chance to find out what was their status. That's what made everything more, I'm going to say, more real with the house and saying the ballroom came in, instead of like everybody deciding that who was what is what. So when they had the side stylist of that ball, so say, you know, Legend Statements start fitting, everybody was running for these slides to find out if they needed to find that list. To see who was the legend, the signal of thought, so they could move up to what it was. That was what made me want to be more influential and be more active than what it was today.
Oh, okay. So that's your what if, your moment, is when Realness with a Twist started, and it meant something to you then, because at that time you had to be noted to being in that category to even be wanted to be called out for Statement Stars and Legends.
Right.
Correct. I definitely agree with you on Eric. You had to be noted for that category, you know, and it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot of people, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
All right, Eric. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mother.
All right, baby. Kelly, any more callers? Send them over. If not, Derek? Okay. No.
Okay,
go ahead, Derek.
Do you have another caller?
No, go ahead, your segment.
Okay, well, then I do my second Bitch, I Remember When. Bitch, I Remember When, Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the Kenny Polo Ball. Now, Kevin, do you remember the Kenny Polo Ball? Those were some really nice balls. And so,
right.
You know what I'm saying? At the Nile. And the battle was between Lowell Kahn and Otis Geely for Polo Polo and More Polo. And, baby, they tore that place down. I remember Lowell Kahn peeled from winter to fall to spring to summer, you know, and Otis mm-hmm. had all this polo, and they were just going at it at that Kenny Polo. You know, that was like the grandpa's category. And that was
right.
like, I think, 94. That was 94 at the Nile, you know, and I remember everyone just going ballistic because Lowell had so much polo all over the place, you know what I'm saying? It was just boxes and shit, everything, and Otis was just coming out, and Otis was giving out accessories, he was giving out polo coffee mugs, and he had the can. Oh, man, it was just, that's my one of my Philly moments at the Nile, where basically the majority of the balls were there.
I got one for you, and let's see if that you can recall the pieces that this person wore. I was at the first Escada Ball in Atlanta, Georgia. It was given in tracks. Grand prize was John Cartier versus Derek Gaultier.
Okay.
Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
You had the crushed velvet burgundy outfit on. You had the Versace baby blue outfit on. And every time you changed into a new pair of shoes. Could you give the regimen of what you had on that night alone?
Oh, God. Wow. Yes. I went from Versace to Gautier to Moschino to John Richmond to Gianfranco Ferré. I just went on and on and on and on.
And that was the first Scottable.
They had to stop me, and it was like, Derek, enough is enough.
And I peeled
from head to toe with his glasses. I mean, that's when, you know, peeling was a mix. The category was peeling, more peeling, and it was kind of a team, and it was me and Wilton had walked because you had one face and it was one label, you know? And it was really, like, I remember just really, and it's so funny because that set precedent for Atlanta, and Atlanta kids had never even seen anything like that. You know, people were, like, coming at all, like, wow, you know what I'm saying? And I was at Scottable with precedent. You know, I give 100% props to Tony and Sebastian, who helped cultivate that scene. They are pioneering legends of that Atlanta scene. Not for much of a walking category, but pioneering that Atlanta scene, which was started in 1996. And don't let anybody tell anybody other than that, you know?
Right,
you know
exactly.
That you was there. You know, people try to change stories or years of what started or what happened.
I can tell you who was on the mic that night. It was Stuart at that time and Ms. Alvernian.
Those were the two.
Here's a moment, Derek, that's going to take you back. Okay. Bitch, I remember when Candy Kool-Aid was up on stage and the category was Miss Cheesecake, okay, against Miss Sekou, that was at that time Pendarvis, all right, that used to be La May. Now, Miss Sekou came out and shook her body and spread baby oil all over her body. Miss Candy came out, and Miss Sekou shook a whole one of those, not the 25-cent pack. At that time, it was a whole dollar pack of Kool-Aid.
The 64-ounce, for body,
and Miss Thing spread this the Kool-Aid all over Miss Candy Kool-Aid. That was Cheesecake body.
And what the gagger was is that this is the summertime Elks Lodge, and it was hot as shit. So
hot
I was for the community to imagine that red Kool-Aid was all on the floor. So, of course, with the heat, so it turned the floor, the Elks Lodge floor red. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the heat started to evaporate.
Caramelized the Kool-Aid,
and it was Kool-Aid. The floor was red. So that is a bit I remember because it was like, wow, the floor was red. It was Kool-Aid everywhere, and it was that big super deluxe pack.
The big one that you got from the supermarket.
That was a time for me.
How did she think about that? And then when I thought about the concept was Candy Kool-Aid versus Sekou. And she shook the Kool-Aid all over her. And mind you, Miss Candy didn't fight or anything. She went right along with it. Started licking her titties and started feeling on herself, started emoting.
You're so right. She bathed in it. She bathed in it.
She rolled around in it. She started emoting. That was another thing that a lot of femme queens do that a lot of femme queens don't do now. Miss Moldavia, the major girl for emoting, and like she was making love to a camera. So, all femme queens don't do that no more.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Only I think a lot of the performing drag queens and of the South know how to emote, maybe a Raquel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Raquel is a known one for doing it.
Right. I've seen a couple of them really just emote and sell their so their inner beauty and their outer beauty at the same time, because it has to come, it has to be a combo, you know?
Exactly.
You are so right. So we're waiting for another caller, because I know people are going to really start calling, because now people's motors are running, like, wow.
Okay.
So
there's no more. Go ahead.
I'm going down, and I'm going to go to now, I'm going to go to D.C. And D.C., I'm going to go to the ball in D.C., which was the con ball and whatnot, as you should have been. And I think it was when Benjamin and the first Little James con, Little James in the short
Little James.
Remember when they had started ransacking and terrorizing all of Connecticut Avenue and all the eyeglass stores? They had it written up in the Washington Post, and they came in the ballroom with over 300 pair of glasses and littered that whole fucking place. They was giving out eyewear to the judges, giving our eyewear to the people. They was dumping bags and bags of eyewear. It was chaos. I mean, not no cheesy. This is, of course, I'm talking about from Meekly's to Foray's. It was chaos. God bless them both. You know what I'm saying? Those are my people. Benjamin, and that was a moment in D.C. where it was just like, wow. You know what I'm saying? It was eyewear. And they carried. And they was terrorizing. That's when the kids started. That's when D.C. started busting windows. You know what I'm saying? You know, they tried to take, you know, and now that was the new craze. And I remember New York, Washington, D.C. was not ready for that. I'm talking about the community.
Nope.
They was like, they was a big store. They had it in the Washington Post about these stores. Remember on Connecticut Avenue with Burberry's, Ralph Lauren, a squad of all of those. And they was getting terrorized by the kids, and they didn't have what they may have now. So, you know, those windows were easy to bust. And I just remember that moment, like, wow, they were just giving out, like, they just flew, and they had so much glass. They had so much eyewear. It was just chaos. Chaos, chaos, chaos.
Okay, here's another moment for me that probably you would remember more than anybody else on this line. Okay, uh-huh. Bitch, do you remember the time when Cedric St. Laurent, then La Beja, came out for labels, and more labels, and he walked against Junior Ovenis, and who had on Gaultier, and do you remember that one where Ms. Cedric came out with the cards and she flipped them upside down?
Yes, right. Cedric St. Laurent was no joke. Cedric St. Laurent, for the younger kids, if any other, you know what I'm saying, like at that time, Jean-Paul Gaultier was the designer that you had to wear, you know what I'm saying? And he had on all the Gaultier, and he had on the card piece. Now, if anybody knows the card piece, it's like a cup, you know what I'm saying? And it was the red patent leather cup. Now, anybody, if you Google Cameo, which is the album, which was a group, they all have on all that stuff, you know what I'm saying, on that cover of the album, and you can actually see what we're actually physically, when you're talking, they're like, I know kids like card piece, what the hell is a card piece? It's just a cup, you know what I'm saying, that like a card like what an athlete may wear, you know what I'm saying? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right, the story goes behind is that back then when kids walked any type of fashion category, you had to get the best of the best. You had to get the stuff that was couture, that was one of a kind or was unique or was extremely expensive and that nobody, but somehow or another it was gotten, you know? Now, to go in terms of fantastic moments, it wasn't my, I didn't witness it because it wasn't, I wasn't out there, but this is one of the stories that was actually passed down to me when I came out and it had just happened. The story goes, community, Rodney Ebony hid in the Museum of Natural History, this is what was actually told, and hid overnight. And balls, of course, started early in the morning, you know, just any other on a Sunday morning. and he actually stole the cape and ass of a pharaoh. Came up into the ballroom, wrote the category, I think it was basically coming from a foreign country or ethnic effect or something.
It was bizarre.
This and the other. And walked, and everyone was just gagging, that he had the actual cape and ass of the pharaoh that he just stole out of the Museum of Natural History, you know? And
these are wowing moments.
Wow.
This is like something that you'll never see again.
You'll never see anything like that because actually he had on, right, he had on something from thousands of years that he actually, he hid in the museum and got out of the museum and walked the ball, and that's where it goes with basically how the extent of ballroom was then, that you went far as an extreme to do whatever you need to do to make a moment. And that goes with the conversations about creating moments. You know what I'm saying? I don't recommend anybody risking anything in their life now, but back then it was like that. You know what I'm saying? You know? And it was definitely a good thing. I'm gonna come back up north, and this any other way. I'm gonna speak in terms of New York City, and I'm gonna go in then. Because I'm from the '80s era, the Elk Lodge, and then in the '90s. So I'm gonna speak about a moment, and I'm gonna go to a realness moment. And realness was about everything that it had to be about a butch queen being who he was in his own, in his masculinity, and confident about that. Category during the time when, you got to think about the '90s, when drug dealers were the biggest thing. Everybody was a drug dealer. Everybody wanted to be a drug dealer. Everybody wanted to be, tried to be a drug dealer. But categories represented the sign of the time. Category, drug cartel realness. The man for drug cartel realness is no other than my brother Dre Ebony. And Dre Ebony comes down the runway, trench coat, suit, tie, da-da-da, fedora, hat. And he slid, and he put a briefcase open, opens it up, and no one knows what is there. Is it real cocaine or is it powder? But baby, if I'm getting this something correct, I think it was really cocaine, because I remember that the drug girls were fiending. You remember that?
Remind everybody to push one. If you have any questions, push one, everybody. Just when you call in, push one.
Please push one.
And we're waiting for your phone calls. Now, y'all want to ask questions? We're more than happy to answer them. Just push one, everybody. Go ahead, Derek.
And that was a moment for me that was just like, wow, because, I mean, it was realness. It was drug cartel. It was just like, wow, this is what we talk about. This is the thing. Another thing, you know, Dre coming in the ballroom, shooting up the ballroom, you know. Captain, you know, and everybody thinking that's a real, you know, remember everybody used to duck and die. Well, some of them, you know, the Ebony's didn't, you know, but ducking, like,
our
oh,
reputation
God,
preceded us.
Huh?
Our reputation preceded us.
But
let me ask you a question, Derek.
Because it's like, oh, they're going to shut up the ballroom, da-da-da, kids are ducking, da-da-da, you know. Those are moments like, wow, they find out that's not, you know, it's just basically it's the fact. And who was the female version of that was Angie Infinity. Remember how she used to pull the gun out of her boot?
Right.
And
Angie.
Off? Huh?
Banjie Angie is what they call her.
Banjie Angie, God bless her. Legend, you know what I'm saying? And those were things with people, community, where you created your moment for your category. Categories weren't all that, you know, all that distinctive about it. It was about you brought the pain. No, the category didn't instruct you what to do and what to wear and what color and how to bring it. It was very realness. Bring it. Faith, bring it. And then you said, well, I need to create a moment for myself in order to win.
Right.
I want to get 10. I want to win. So I don't know what my other counterpart is doing. I don't know what my rival is doing. So I know I'm going to bring the pain. So I'm going to do whatever needs to be done. We didn't have Google. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers back then. All the things that we did came from our own brain. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying. We didn't have texting. We couldn't text a girl and tell a girl that the category was starting. You know what I'm saying? This and the other, oh, the ball was starting. But you had to be there at the ball. You know what I'm saying? You know, all the things that y'all have accessible now, which is so easy for researching things, it seems like those things don't get used like that, but we didn't have all those things. We had to use our own brain to make fantastic moments. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and that's why I tell a lot of people, ballroom is not hard.
No.
Ballroom is not hard.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. It's not hard. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have to, and honestly, I don't give a fuck what nobody says. You don't have to spend a whole lot of money. Because people say, oh, I spent all this money for this outfit and da-da-da-da-da, this and other da-da. You don't. You know what I'm saying? Because people use the most simplest things and created the most fantastic moments.
Of course
another
they did,
moment.
Because they use a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff in ballroom scene. Label was a category that came along pretty later on in life. But when you would get ready for, say, something like Shopping Down Fifth or Madison Avenue, that's cool for a label. But when they call for Designer's Delight or something of that nature, that took ingenuity.
Designer's
that took
Delight,
you to be creative.
Or Haute Couture, or even if it was something that someone made for you. It was
made. It was a Haute Couture, one-of-a-kind piece.
It was one-of-a-kind. It was made for you and no one else. And this and the other. And then, of course, it was labels. It was about designer pieces. And it was about, you know what I'm saying, what you are, as in Paris, it was about what you acquired. You know what I'm saying? You know? And that's just how it was. Another
so do you have,
I remember.
So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So now you said you were coming north. So how much further north?
I came north, and I'm going to now tracks. And I'm going to that whole red era. I'm going to the tracks days when the ballroom scene left the Elks Lodge in 88 and track started in 89 and it was, I think that it was Love Asia Ball. And it was when they shut all the lights off in the ballroom scene, all the lights, it was pitch black and they had people waiting for like 10, 15 minutes and I was like, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? Why do you want to turn on these lights? And all of a sudden, boom, on the stage, it's this box. And all of a sudden, this light comes on in this box. And there's three people in the box. Julian Nuclear, Stacey Nuclear, and Kenny Chanel. And this box, glowing in the dark, doing Vogue poses. And everybody went ballistic. You know what I'm saying?
What category was that, Bizarre?
I think it was Bizarre, yes.
Futuristic or Bizarre? It was one of them. I knew it was one of them.
Right. It was Futuristic. Yeah, it was Futuristic Bizarre. That's remember it was Futuristic. And they had on these glow-in-the-dark head to toe, and all you see was the movement. And Kenny and Julian and Stacey, they were posing and voguing. They were inside this box, and the box was glowing in the dark, and the whole track was pitch black. And everybody, you could just hear everybody screaming. You couldn't see anybody. You could hear everybody screaming, going crazy.
Going
that
up.
That moment is, I would never, ever forget, because I just remember sitting there like,
I was, in fact, when I got there, that was the second category that was next. And when I saw that, between that at that ball and also seeing the lovely Josephine Baker come out, a.k.a. Miss Motherfucking Honey St. Laurent. What was her name? Oh, my God. What was her name? Temperance.
The original
when
Temperance.
She came out as the new Josephine Baker, I lost my mind. The reason why I lost my mind so severely, because you know Miss Temperance grew up right across the street from where I live at. I watched her grow up from a little child.
You know,
and to
her,
see
as
her
as a little butch queen.
As a little butch queen.
Her name was Rudy. As a butch queen. And she hung out with Miss Chocolate. Remember, her girl from Miss Chocolate.
Miss Chocolate and all of them girls. When I tell you to see her blossom into Temperance St. Laurent, it just blew my mind. And at that time, femme queens didn't have all the things that they have now. And modern science wasn't as good as it is now. When I tell you she was picture perfect
as the new
Josephine Baker, and she came in there with the fruit all around her titties, oh, when I tell you, it just, that made me love femme queens more than I ever loved femme queens before. And I was never really big on femme queen categories. My fame claim was Danielle, Anjanae, Miss Sarah Mugler, these girls that walk face. When that category came, Miss Octavia, When that category came, that was a category that I lived to see. But to see her come in as Josephine Baker and stop the whole show, that was a moment in time. That was a moment that I will never, ever, ever, ever forget. Well, Derek, we have 150 callers online.
Well, that's good. I'm ready to hear.
150 callers online, and no one will push one. No one will push one. And I don't understand why. 150 callers.
I don't understand, y'all. That don't make no sense. It has to be something that just floored you, that rocked you. It's something that you may have even did that made you tore down. It's a bit. I remember when I was getting myself together to walk Runway Bazaar and da da da. I just went to community to hear stories. I'm on Facebook and I have a lot of friends on Facebook and I post pictures. I have thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures that I've taken over 25 years. Danny Mugler, he has pictures. We post pictures on the community. And whoever's friends with us see those pictures. And the same thing that we're doing now is what we do on Facebook. We post pictures and people make so many comments, tell stories. People cry. People express that they're crying. They miss their friends. They miss their girlfriend. They miss their house member. People send me personal messages saying, thank you for showing me this picture. I had forgot about that person. You know what I'm saying? I forgot that was my girlfriend. We used to hang out and put on the village together. This is what I'm talking about. And just elaborating on your ballroom experiences, because your ballroom experience is momentous to someone else. So you got all these people listening to us. I don't want us to sit there and gab. I want to hear the community. You know what I'm saying? Say what you said, you know? Let me tell you what, another one. I'm going to go to Detroit. When I started going to Detroit in the early 2000s and the Detroit scene was flourishing, it was this guy named Eric. I can't think of his house name now. But he wore foot and eyewear. And he came out in this cage, this life-size bird cage. And he had on these Gautier boots that came all the way up his motherfucking legs. And he pulled out this paperwork, this authentic paperwork, and the paperwork was from Jean-Paul Gaultier from overseas, stating that these boots were the one and only prototype of the boot that was coming out a year later. When I looked at that paperwork, and you know me, and at that time I was traveling, I said, this boy is not playing. You know what I'm saying?
He
got a boot that's not even out yet, that won't be out until the next year. And
right, because Gucci only designs shoes every 7 years.
Right, basically, Gucci didn't make shoes like boots and stuff like that all the time.
Right,
you're so right. And he was inside this life-size black birdcage, and he had the boot, and I can't remember with the glasses, and I was like, wow, and of course, he impressed me because the boots were figured with black and red leather. And I was like, wow. But what the thing was is that he lost. And I can't remember who he lost to, but he lost. And I was going crazy. I was like, what the fuck? This boy got a boot on that they haven't even put out yet. It's a prototype. And a prototype meaning basically they are one or two pairs of that, and they haven't decided if they're going to produce this item yet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And y'all not seeing this? The boot was sick. His presentation was sick. He was inside of a life. He was inside of a cage. What
a life-size bird cage. I remember.
Right.
I can't remember who
he
is
either.
Hmm. All right, Derek. We have a caller. 410-655. Caller, are you there?
Well, this is off like, you know, what y'all talking about, but I just got a question because I wanted to ask this last week.
Okay, Naima, it continues on, my love.
And that is, what do y'all both think about people, whether it's the Butch Queens or whether it's the female figures who walk labels, and it's really not, they say that their label is McQueen or something like that, and it's not, and they really took other labels from off of other stuff and sold it on there, and other girls who hot glue stuff and pass it off as a label, and the judges let them go through only because they come with sickening pieces.
Well, honestly, it's not a sickening pieces. Basically, it's a contour. And number to answer that question real quickly is that I realize that today, if you do not have fashionable people on your panel, they cannot discrepancize what's designer, what's not designer, what's real and what's fake. You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. what the problem is. Back then, I don't care who you were up on fashion. You were up on what was in Saks, what was in Barney's, what was in Charles, what was in Bloomies. You knew what was authentic for that actual season, what was on the floor and what wasn't. So no one tried to present anything that wasn't real. But these days, the kids that actually judge, when you got motherfucking 19, 20-year-old kids or kids that ain't been in Roboto C 5 seconds on the judges panel, they don't know what's what. They don't know.
They don't know what to look for.
They don't know what they're looking for. They don't know anything about anything, you know what I'm saying? So basically, they're just going to throw up their 10, and the person is going to get away with it. Compared to, me on the panel, and I'm just like, no, that's not so-and-so, because so-and-so didn't make that.
But you can tell being experienced from a trained eye. If you look at the piece, and you can tell that Gaultier stitches his stuff different than Ralph Lauren, American designer and a European designer. If it doesn't come clear to you, what you do is you look at the inside and the tailoring of clothing, and that's how you can tell. McQueen uses certain buttons. When you have St. John's on, you know you have St. John's on. Just like Naima, they've had categories where they tell you to bring them an exclusive female designer. An exclusive female designer.
Yeah, and Gaultier has every Gaultier army has this thing called a fag tag. And the fag tag is the little strip that's in the back of every garment that he makes. That little piece of material, you know what I'm saying? Nobody can say, I got a Gaultier, and they turn around and there's no fag tag in the back because it's not Gaultier. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of thing. And then also, Naima, to really completely answer, back then when you walk fashion and you walk label categories, you was ready to throw all your stuff on the judges panel. You were taking off your jacket. You were taking off your shirt. You was pulling off your shoes. You was pulling down your pants to show the labels because you wanted to let everyone know that I got this shit on. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, not to cut you off, though, I understand that from back in the day, but as me being a participant and also watching the label categories, because that's, like, one of my, like, favorite categories I like to see is labels and best dress and stuff like that, I've actually seen, and I'm not going to name no names because I don't want to seem like I'm starting anything, but I've actually seen the judges when certain, figures come up there and they walk in labels, they will already be giving the person a 10 or whatever like that, and they'll say, oh, this is this and this is that, and my panties is LaPearl and my stockings is Woofer, and none of that stuff may not even be there, but they'll just go here to get them the 10s and pay it. They don't check them. But I've seen the judges check other girls or other, you know what I'm saying, butch queens or whatever like that on their doggone stuff, when in fact sometimes the other person who they don't check be the ones who
may
be impostering a lot of other people.
May not be authentic. That's what you're saying.
Right.
Okay, I got you. Right. I got you. And that does, and right, and you're right, it does happen. You know what I'm saying? You can't always take, because a girl is known for a particular category, you can't always take her word for it because da-da-da, because some girls are like, you know what, I'm known for this, so I can pull up a little light stunt. You know what I'm saying? They won't know because I'm so-and-so-and-so. Whether it's a butcher or something.
That answer is...
Hello?
True.
Every now and then, Rich Boy gives you a little, you know, that answer is.
Oh, okay, well.
So, okay, here's the problem.
And I feel you on that. I feel you on that, Naima. And that's a ballroom issue about the authenticity of things. That really is that's a bigger ballroom issue.
Okay, here, somebody in the chat room said, I'm only 23. Okay, so how long have you been walking? Have you been walking balls? You know, if you can go back 5 years from 23. I know me at 23, I could go back 5 years.
Right.
Believe it or not. I could go back 5 years. In fact, at 23, I could go back 6 years.
I still would like to hear that story. It don't matter.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because I just want to hear what impressed them.
Okay, now everybody says, everybody's in the, people in the chat room are talking about Tina Montana. Tina Montana the baddest bitch in the world, right next to Stephanie Milan. She was the baddest bitch in the world. But before Tina Montana came, there was a Pepper Orin Montana that used to be Pepper Orin La Beja. That was a label villain. But her favorite shoes were Charles Jordan. She liked it, Norma Kamali. She liked it, different things of that nature. But Tina was a bad bitch. Make no mistakes, audience. Tina was the bitch to be fucked with.
Well, let me go back really quickly for the kids about a Pepper Orin who I seen just recently. You know what I'm saying? Still lives in that same apartment, same place in Brooklyn. You know, and what it was is that I remember this was the ball cabbage when I came up as a con. You remember when you came to the hotel and you met the cons, da 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 da, this and the other in '88 when we was going to Paris's ball.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And so a con, K-A-N-H. So, Pepper Orin won Paris's ball in 88, and the category was, I think, leather versus suede, haute couture, or something like that. And she got up on the judges panel, and she had on this all leather suit, and she had this skirt that was pleated, brown leather. I can never forget it. And she took both ends of the skirt and lifted it. And yes, it was Montana, and lifted it up, and it's pop, 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 pop. It just started popping, and it was so pleated. It was like a big pleated spindle, and everybody was going, oh, man, I'll never forget that. That was my first, like, wow, who the fuck is that? You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to never, ever forget that. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, that's a bad bitch. And that was during the whole Moldavia era, when Moldavia was... She was Moldavia La Beja, you know what I'm saying? And she was walking. Remember when Moldavia was walking? Film Queen Performance, Film Queen State, Film Queen Runway. She walked everything and won, you know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
She was walking
everything. You have a question.
Winning. She was becoming, and
you have
she
a
was that all-around bitch. She was, excuse me.
She was that all-around
film queen. Before she became Film Queen State. Before she had been known for that, but she was that all-around femme queen. And then I remember her standing up. She was ready to leave the House of La Beja because she had earned so much accolades, and she got up on the judges. She came up when the ball was ending, and I could never forget it. And she was like, you know, my name is Lamar Xavier, and I'm opening the House of Carrington. If anybody wants to join, please come see me. I remember that. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, that of course that didn't work out.
Okay, Derek, somebody online said, Derek, let them know about the ultimate label diva, Portia La Beja.
Okay, well, Portia is before my time, but the stories that I heard from Avis and David that Portia was. I mean, you know what I'm saying? When they started speaking about Tina, we have to go back in history. We go from Tina, we go back to Pepper, we go to Tennille, we go to Portia. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
That's how you, if you're going to go backwards. And my story is about, I heard about Portia, that she was the baddest bitch ever. You know, Portia was friends with actual designers. Her good girlfriend is Manola Blahnik. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Who's still a good girlfriend? You know what I'm saying? And I just hear about the shit she used to wear. And Michael Grant used to tell me stories about Portia and how she used to come and her grace and her style and her attitude. And she was in the latest and always with a fabulous shoe and done and da da da. She was just nobody to be played with. And she was a real runway model.
She was a real runway model.
You know what I'm saying? Modeling in the shows, da da da. Blahnik was her Manola Blahnik is her good girlfriend, and I seen her today. I seen her recently, coming down 125th Street in August with a Blahnik, big Blahnik bag, and she was like, "Hi, baby," and she walked. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, basically. So it was like, you know, from my experience, hearing about Portia, then actually seeing her, and then being in the era of Tennille, who's one of my favorite femme queens, Tennille Dupree, who was, for y'all, Tennille Dupree was Tony Reed, legendary butch queen face, who became Tennille Dupree, legendary femme queen face. You know what I'm saying? ain't that feat ain't been happened like that in ballroom history. You know what I'm saying? A mascot being legendary, one of the most simple queens with the next to Pepper with the most grandfathers. You know what Pepper said? I have the most. But Tamina was that too. She was high fashion evening wear. She was shopping down Fifth, shopping up Madison, haute couture. She was all those things. She was beauty, glamour, everything. One of the nicest people. You know what I'm saying? When I finally got to meet her, you know? And so Tennille and then Tina. Now, Tina, y'all talking about Tina. Tina originally was Michelle LaBeija. And then
right.
when she became in the House of Montana, she became Tina Montana. She wasn't, for the history, y'all, she wasn't initially in the House of Montana. It was only Cece, Coffee, and Dee. Chrissy was Chris LaBeija, who y'all saw in Paris is Burning. When y'all see the person flops on the floor and opens the book, that was Chris. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Christopher, excuse me. Christopher LaBeija. You know, because it was already Chris LaBeija, who was always. She was Christopher LaBeija. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Chrissy was Spanish. And when the House of Montana started and it built its momentum, they ended up becoming the House of Montana. And she became Chrissy Montana, and Michelle became Tina Montana. And Tina Montana had so many moments. But her fantastic moment is at that ball of tracks. Versace motherfucking emerald and ruby boots, matching bag, and bustier that only Versace had only made four, because three of the models had it on and she had one. And that legendary Versace ad. Linda Evangelista, Naomi, and then motherfucking Helena Christensen. And Tina Montana had one, too. When she walked in that, she set it on fire. She destroyed the ballroom. The ballroom was no good after that. She had a couture piece that Versace only made four of them. You know what I'm saying? And there was no order.
And that was amazing
that,
in itself.
That was amazing in itself. That bustier was not to be messed with, y'all. Not to be messed with. Motherfucking rubies and motherfucking emeralds and bustier with the matching boots and the pocketbook. And everybody Google Versace ad, Versace bustier ad. You Google that, you actually see what I'm actually talking about. She has something. And then remember the story about when the feds came and Versace wanted it back?
Yeah. And he told her, when she was living in Maryland, that I don't want them to arrest you. I just want my piece back. I just want my bustier back. That's all I want.
That was a scandal. He was like, Versace himself was like, I just want my piece back.
Right. She got my piece. I don't know how she got it, but I just want my piece back. I don't want her arrested. I don't want nothing to happen to her. I just want my piece back.
He just wanted his piece back.
And he was real serious about it.
But the feds kept it. Remember, the feds had to keep it because that was
right,
the most,
because
of the
evidence.
That was the evidence. That bustier, it wasn't even no price. That was priceless. They had to, but they knew that she had gotten it however she had gotten it. And the feds had to hold it for whatever time. Probably Versace probably got it back. But
I'm sure eventually.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that was like,
could,
go ahead,
Derek. No, that was a moment that was in itself. Let's speak about designers and ballroom, let's talk about designers and how designers get connected to ballroom. Who was Terry Mugler's favorite motherfucking femme queen that he loved to fucking death, that would dress up good, give her anything? Who was Terry Mugler's favorite femme queen?
Danielle Luna St. Laurent Princess.
Yeah. Terry Mugler.
He
loved motherfucking Danielle. I remember that time when he came up to motherfucking Show World to see Danielle. Remember he was trying to put her in the show? He wanted her to come over. He wanted her to come over to Paris to walk in his runway show. I can never forget that. That was
I'll never forget. Not as long as I live. But
he couldn't get Danielle, so he ended up getting Connie Girl. Remember Connie Girl Fields from the House of
right.
Patricia Fields' house? Connie Girl, but it was supposed to have been Danielle that was supposed to be Terry Mugler's, his muse. He loved her fucking Danielle.
He loved him, Danielle. Just like with Tracy Africa.
Sound Factory, huh?
Just like with Tracy Africa. She was loved in Europe. She got so much shade in the United States, but got so much love in Europe.
Because, right, Right. She was, yeah, she did. She, and she said it herself that basically when she finally, even after all the scandal happened, all the men, when she went to Europe, she got more, she worked. She worked. You know
she
what I'm
worked.
Saying? She got work. She did print. She did runway. She did all of those things. It was just that horrible butch queen turned out. You know what I'm saying?
Her girl, and, supposedly her girlfriend.
Her girlfriend. Another scandal, designer connected to Warwick. Remember when the Chanel ball happened and Chanel sent in the house and Chanel and the representative of motherfucking the Chanel Corporation came to the ball and they had to read the letter in front of the whole ballroom saying that the house of Chanel is no way a connected to and has nothing to do with motherfucking the house of
All
Chanel
right.
Incorporated.
All right, Derek, we have a commercial break. We have a commercial break. Kelly,
okay,
take it away.
Right.
Kelly, enjoy
Good
email,
evening.
Katie.
I am Wildred, your butler. And I am here to inform you that the House of ABBC presents to you Clue On. On October 9th, the House of ABBC takes over New York City. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the ball begins at 8 p.m. sharp. Please be on time because we will begin the ball without your presence. The date of the ball is Saturday, October 9th. Here are some cash prizes. Male figure best dress, $500. Female figure best dress, $500. Legendary femme queen performance, $500. Legendary butch queen Vogue femme, $250. Butch queen runway, $1,000. Femme queen fade, $1,000. Schoolboy Realness, $250. Legend Team Battle, $1,000. And House with the Most Points, $1,000. Plus, there are many more intriguing categories and cash prizes. Reminder, you must have an ID stating that you're 18 years of age to enter the building. There's absolutely no glitter or spray paint allowed on premises. Tables are $250. The address to the ball, 504 West 43rd Street between 10th and 11th Avenue, New York, New York. Please see flyers that are circulating in DVD format for more details. Or check walkmewednesdays.com. And please remember, I do not to keep this place tidy.
Goodbye.
Okay, everybody, hello.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Derek.
Yeah.
Okay,
what is this about these kids? They want to be on the channel. Everybody always has something to say, but then now it's time to express and say things, and nobody's asking. Just say what you feel. Express something.
Put your hands together for the
bass.
The real.
To the real. Wait,
the legendary. The legendary.
Hello?
All you girls on this phone is fucking late, Miss Thing. It's 150 people listening on the motherfucking phone line, and none of you bitches are pressing one, and none of y'all have nothing the fuck to say. Miss Thing, it is really ridiculous that when we give y'all a positive show, nobody has nothing to say when it's a positive show. But when it's a Monday night show and it's so much negative and bitches is fighting and they tear it down at balls, Miss Thing, and it's about ballroom gossip, Miss Thing, and what happened at the ball that weekend, everybody's calling in and everybody got their hand pressed up and there's so many fucking numbers that I can't get to every fucking number. Now we give y'all a positive show on Tuesday night, we give y'all a positive show on Wednesday night, and girls just want to sit here and nobody wants to press one and nobody wants to say nothing and nobody wants to join in. Y'all motherfucking bitches are motherfucking late and y'all full of motherfucking negativity, bitch, and y'all need to bite motherfucking bricks, and I'm going back on mute.
Thank you so much, Kelly. Well, thank you, Miss Kelly. And Miss Kelly, you are so right, because this is about y'all and your and about the community. You're just expressing about what you saw, what you felt, what ballroom feeling you. What is the problem? I don't want to sit here and talk and tell my stories. I want to hear. That's the whole point. It was a bitch. I remember when. I want to hear your stories. This thing that's happening has happened in Miami, in Ohio, Detroit, North Carolina, wherever, California. I don't know. I know those stories because I mean I've been to those balls, but I want to hear what was fantastic at that time at that particular ball. Ain't nobody want to say nothing.
Come on now, that's corny. That's so
okay,
corny.
So here, everybody, I'm looking at everybody in the chat room, and I understand where y'all are coming from. Okay, let's pick.
What is the problem? It's basically just telling
pick things that happened in the last 10 years. That means from 2000 to 2010. Now, if anybody feels like they want to push one and tell me a wild moment about 2000 from 2000 to 2010. Since everybody seems to be much younger, and forgive me for y'all being younger, I understand. But
that's what's going on. Okay, now I understand. I got you. But I said 5 years and back. I said 2005. Like, come on. Yeah,
honey,
that was only a couple of years ago.
So give any time when y'all felt that there was a wow factor, and what will happen is, if y'all can give us one, we can give you one in return. Let's play it like that. If you give us a wow factor from now, we'll give you a wow factor from then that compares to your wow factor from now. It'll be maybe the same category. Maybe it'll be even the same person. Try it out. See how good our history is.
I like that. I'm feeling that.
Okay, so y'all don't have to go back 2005. Y'all can go back 2010 back to 2000. Let's see if the phone lines will open up then. If somebody can give us a wow factor, I'm sure I can give you a wow factor in the same category. All right, caller. Oh, okay, now this is a caller that has been dedicatedly calling in week after week, and he has a question for me and you, Derek. It's not, our bitch. Okay.
Okay.
So, 803-477, you're on the air with two icons. You don't get one tonight. You get two, like always.
Huh?
And your question? Hello? 803? Oh, he's gone. Okay. Well, now, everybody, since we gave y'all the deal of the night, if you can give us a wild factor saying, like, somebody wants vote for. Oh, here we have a caller again. 347-528. My son, Eric. Eric, are you there?
Yes, Mom. How you doing? I think I'm gonna give an opinion. I think that all these categories and other back spins and back wins. Maybe that if we do a ball or somebody do a ball and give all these old categories and reinnovate them again for 2010 and further. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, they could actually do their research and see where all this stuff came from and make a ball after that. Maybe the
but the play-by-play action is, if they want to do their research, me and Derek is here for them to do their research on us.
Yeah,
that's the reason why I got on this radio station. I will give you as much. I'm not going to give you a fake story. I'm not going to give you a figment of my imagination. I'm not going to drum nothing up. I'm going to give it to you right the way it is. And I'm sure Derek does the same thing. I try to get other people online, but sometimes it's for me and Derek to give it to you rough, rugged, and raw. Now, anything that you need to know, this will be a time to question. If there's a category that you don't understand, like coming all white, coming from a foreign country, it's the funeral of the president. Coming from a foreign country, what president? What? There's the question. What president of what? There are only but so many presidents of different countries. We have a president here in the United States. What other country has a president? And you have to be in all white. That means that it has to be a summer funeral, correct? These are the things that you kids want to know. Different things that you want to know. Here's another caller, Eric. Eric, are you there? Okay, Kelly, your next caller is 313-608. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Cabbage?
And you, sweetheart?
I'm all right. This is Eric Eminence. I kind of, like, just tuned in, and I heard you say, like, a wow factor from, like, 2000, 2010. But,
give it to us.
You're going to, you say you were going to give a wow factor from the earlier era?
Earlier than that, yes.
Okay, well, what about the battles between Tiny Cartier and Tyra Supreme? What were the wow factors in that female figure labels prior to, and I'm sure you're probably going to say Montana or something like that, but I wanted to know who they were prior to Tiny and Tyra.
Okay, the wow factors of that was when it was between Duchess, at that time LaWong, now Ebony, and Pepper Oren. LaDisha, and they were walking in the Elks Lodge, and it was Parisian or it was, what was it, Derek? It was Parisian or something when Miss Pepper limped her coat off, when Miss Cashmere limped her coat off, when Miss Duchess limped her fur coat off, and Miss Cashmere put her foot on it.
Yes.
Okay, now, these were divas at this time.
Or something coming like, you know.
Like coming from a foreign country, something,
another. Decombined, you know what I'm saying? They would say, Parisian, Marley effect coming from a foreign country, head to toe openness. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's like, damn, that's a whole lot. It just wasn't. It was just basically.
Is that Derek Ebony? Is that Derek Carter Ebony?
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What's up, Derek? It's Eric Supreme.
Hey, what's going on? Let me answer your question. You said the battles between Tiny and Tyra were really,
right,
really hot. The battles that preceded that was Tina Montana and Felicity Leviticus.
Ooh, St. John's.
Right. That's to precede that. When Tina and Felicity went at it, because Felicity was like, she was like a zero. And she was dark-skinned. She wasn't as attractive, but she would be in the shit. Motherfucking Kieselstein bags, Terry Mugler, da-da-da-da-da-da. And honestly, she was the only girl that could stand up against the Ron Thomas, LaShawn, Pepper, and Tina. You know what I'm saying? So with Felicity, so proceed that. Felicity. It was Felicity Leviticus. Who's still around to this day?
I have one more wow factor, and I think some of the kids can relate to it because I think it's 03 or 02. Whatever, because when I went to the place in New York where, okay, to me the wow factor that I'm trying to talk about is Pixie Revlon, and when she was in that green, you know what I'm talking about, Cabbage?
Yes, voguing pixie, Jamaican.
Right.
Light-skinned,
right,
short. She moved to Florida,
right,
for a little while. Now she's back, I think. Let me tell you, Pixie, what house was she in at that? Was she a Revlon then?
I think she was a Revlon.
Was she a Revlon or a Mugler?
I don't remember that. I don't know. All I remember is a Pixie Revlon. I don't remember anything else.
Okay, so Pixie Revlon.
What did she actually do?
She was on Vogue Femme.
Right.
Exactly.
She was a tiny Vogue Femme from the Bronx or something like that. But she had it real hard against a lot of the black girls at that time. But she always came back and made them know it. Always, always, always. Now you want a wild factor of a pixie Revlon that,
right,
to me was the same kind of voguing person, Jerome Pendarvis. You know Ballerina Betty Jerome, Derek?
Yeah, that was my best friend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, they had the same attitude about performance. Every time you beat her, she was coming back with a new one. Miss Jerome would come back with a new one. Miss Pixie has changed her style of voguing 4 times over the length of time. And every time she came back, she always gave them a new one to look at. And that's what was good about Pixie Revlon. And I'm surprised that she hasn't continued as far or has even been walking, because by now she should be legendary.
Yeah, but she started walking and she left the scene for a moment. And I remember she actually came back and this is when Cassandra was getting her accolades. And I think it was the ball, it was Andre, I guess he was at a Revlon Prodigy, whatever, a DVD man, and Ross had gave a ball. And she had walked, and I think
the collection board. The collection board at the lab.
No. It was Andre's and Ross's ball. That summer scandal or summer madness ball. That's when Cassandra had on the all red. It was Rose Simon all red. And
I won only that night. It was the collection ball.
Okay. And so
it was called the collection ball.
I remember that one too. You're right, but I remember this one because I remember it was Andre, because I remember Cassandra had the little red floppy hat on, da da da. But I remember Pixie walking, and no one had seen her for a while, and she came out and she wrecked it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she wrecked, she did her thing, and then I didn't see her no more after that. I was like, well, wow, what happened to her? So to add to that,
to that wow factor, because you spoke about GoFem, and of course GoFem is the most popular category in the ballroom scene now. You know what I'm saying? GoFem was basically the era of the Shay Shays, the Taifas, you know, the Wills, and Baby Sinclair, this and the other. Then all along comes this one little nasty butch queen. When I say nasty, and not in a negative sense, was Eugene. You know what I'm saying? And Eugene revolutionized that category. He made people like that, and she was unstoppable. Like you couldn't.
What about Armani Milan, Derek?
That was my Atlanta. That was my Atlanta moment. Carlos gave his Atlanta moment. I didn't get to my Atlanta moment yet. My Atlanta moment was, bitch, I remember when they had performance North versus the South. And North versus the South was, the North was Andre, John Ebony, Hickaby, Stanley, Ray Ray, somebody else, and against Armani and motherfucking Demetrius, who was an Escada. And that's
no, Armani is from Virginia.
Oh, he was out of, okay, so I didn't know what, I'm just saying, but this was in Atlanta at the Armani Ball.
Right.
I'm just saying but they had North versus the South, but Armani, right, but they considered that the South. And Armani battled New Way, Old Way, Vogue Femme, he battled all of them. And remember, I just named some names, Andre, Hickaby, Stanley, John, you know what I'm saying? And then Lytel, he defected and came to the North, and Armani wasn't even bothered by that. And still, that was my bitch I remember when, because that category was so hot, North versus South, because I got it on tape. And when they did their final dip, they had both had to do a final. It was just chaos. Armani was somebody who came to New York City and had Vogue Femme fear for her, seriously, because she was not to be played. They said, that country bitch do not play. I remember the little kids used to say, that country little bitch do not play. And that's how she earned, because she came to New York. That's what I'm saying. She came to New York and earned her stripes. She may have been from Virginia, Finland, but she came to New York and paved her own way here in New York City. That's what
I like that. We have callers online. All right. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
All right.
Caller 313-608. Are you on the air?
That's still me, Cabbage.
Oh, that's still you, Eric. Okay. Wonderful to have you. Okay. Caller 618-570.
I got you. I'm not going to get you, though.
Not just for a bottle of head whenever I will to one.
I'm not going to get you, though. Holy shit.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, caller. Do you have a wow factor for us, Al, bitch?
Yeah, bitch. When we got to the ball.
Who is this? Hello? All right, Kelly, next caller.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got a call.
Okay.
Did we have a call or something, Cabbage?
We had one. I don't know what happened to it. Kelly, we have another. All right. 215-554. Caller, you're on the air. 215-554. Hello?
Good evening, guys. How are you, Derek and Cabbage? How are you?
Oh, my God, it's Tiny Corny. Yeah. Hello, my lady. How you doing?
What's going on, Corinne?
I'm doing wonderful.
I'm so glad to have you on.
And I'm so glad that you called.
I've been listening. Oh, it's okay. Cabbage, I wanted to say that I think it's a very good idea that you guys are educating the younger generation about the ballroom community, because the kids need to know their history. And once they find out and do their homework and know their history, then the balls can start being, you know, more creative again like it used to be. And that's pretty much all I wanted to say. I was listening and I was enjoying everything from back in the day at Trax and, you know, the Elfage and everything like that. And
okay, Tiny, now, let me ask you a question. What was your famous wow moment, do you feel, in ballroom history?
What was your bitch I remember when?
What was yours?
I had so many favorite moments, but this was like for the ballroom community, for the younger generation that don't know, like one of my biggest moments were, this was before like I started walking late, it was just like back in the day when I was like fag out, and you was alluding to the fact about the ball at track with Tina with the Versace bustier and Stephanie walking and Carolina Herrera in all white, and I mean that was like that was just so amazing to me. Like, that was one of my highlight moments. And, I mean, you know, from I can go from either labels, performance, stage, Danielle walking, grand prize with a new look, and she came out with all the Continental girls. And, I mean, it's so many moments that I can think of. So I can't really pinpoint one particular moment. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you,
Tiny. How are you guys doing?
Everybody's doing fine. You know, just hearing your voice, everybody's doing fine. And thank you very much, Tiny, for calling in. And I hope to see you at a function sooner or later. I mean, the ballroom scene needs you. They need your presence.
Yes, I know. I'm thinking about coming out soon. I have to pick and choose and stuff and see what ball I think is going to be, you know, worth coming to. And because, I can't deal with all that craziness and the fighting and carrying on and stuff like that. But
time out to educate the young people on history so they can see, so they can come back, so people like you can come back out, and Kathy Jadu, and I can go on. I mean, you know, Mother Benedini, Miss Adrian, those are girls that need to come out and show the rest of the new fem queens how to be fem queens again. You see what I'm saying,
honey? I totally agree. Some of the younger girls, I don't think they get it, and I think they kind of like just like living in the moment and not embracing it. And the one thing about it is not only that you have to live in the moment, but you also have to embrace it. And I think that's what's missing also, not only as far as, you know, the fem queen community, but also, you know, even with the, I don't want to call them butch queens, but, you know, the males.
I get you on that part about the speak about the fem queens, about embracing. I think it's like, you know, being a fem queen, transitioning is a process. It is a mental thing. It is about basically what you feel inside. I think it seems like they make fem queen, being a fem queen, being, you know what I'm saying, being transgender as it being a joke. Is that what you're saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, one day I'm in and one day I'm out of it. Like, no.
Well, I think for the people who look at it as a joke, or for the girls who take it as a joke, that's pretty sad, because they don't understand a lot of the things that we, as, you know, far as the girls, we go through in our daily lives. And I don't know about a lot of them, but I take my life very seriously. And, you know, it's not a game. This is not dress up or what have you. This is how I live my life 24 hours a day. Name is legally changed, and, you know, things of that nature and stuff like that. And, you know, nowadays, you know, girls, like you said, you were talking about Tracy and Portia, and, you know, girls out here, you can go out and get a job, and, you know, you don't have to worry about being discriminated against and everything like that. So it's so much more out here for the girls opposed to, you know, being working girls, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I understand exactly what you mean. All right, thank you, Tiny,
you
for
know,
everything, and we hope that you call in more often. Maybe we can get a segment on
you.
Here where we can get you on here with a few more of the other ladies, and maybe we can, you know, have a show with just you guys.
Right. That would be nice to have. We call it ladies' night.
Have a ladies' night that's not on. That's not Nicole's night. So there will be a Wednesday night for the ladies. And I would love to. All right, Tiny.
Oh, I love you, and I'll see you guys soon.
Thank you. All right, next caller, 803-477. Caller,
yes,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, Grandma Cabbage?
Hi, baby. How you doing? So what would you like to say?
Okay, the question that I have, I was listening for the past couple of weeks about, yeah, I was talking about Realness with a Twist.
Right.
The question I have about the twist is, as you prolong, as you've been, like, if you've been doing it for a couple of years, you're supposed to get better at what you do, right? I know y'all was saying about that the people now that twist, they should be going to Vogue Femme. But I was looking at it as, I see a lot of people that really do look like boys, and they do Realness with a Twist, but they Vogue just like a Vogue Femme. But I look at it as, and if you've been doing something for a while, you should get better at what you do instead of just being the same way when you first started out, right?
Correct. Correct. So what you're saying to me is, after a twister vogues for a while and it has gotten his swing in and now it has gotten more experience, that you feel that because they vogue better, that doesn't mean that they're still not twisters?
Right. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. Okay, well, my reaction to that is, if you're a twister, you're a twister. Now, if you stay true to your category, you stay true to your category. And if growing outwards and learning different techniques is what it takes to win, if you're going along with what the competition does, then you have to do what the competition does. It's like anything else. When in Rome, do like the Romans do. And that's what you have to do. So I feel that there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that now it seems like twists has had a couple of twists to it, and some people feel that twisters should be more masculine in their outcome of things. And
yeah, I agree with you. I don't see asking for all these cunty effects for Realness with a Twist. I don't see very often. We want to see you in a pink tutu and orange slippers and pink and purple stockings. Basically, Realness with a Twist is that basically you're still a butch queen and you know how to vogue. And basically, your butch queen attire, what you wear every single day, jeans, sneakers, sweatshirt, baseball cap, is what you should be able to vogue in. Whether you vogue exceptionally well or whether you are whether you basically are a beginner's vogue, your look should be still as a butch queen. So it's no longer, because that's what eliminates the realness factor. You're not Realness with a Twist when you're coming out in a motherfucking pink tutu. Then basically, no. That's a desecration to the whole realness game. You get what I'm saying? It's a desecration to it, you know? Let me give you a prime example of a person who is, to me, one of the people, it's about three of them, who is an example of Realness with a Twist. Faith is what Realness with a Twist is. Faith is not a fantastic voguer like that. When I say fantastic, you know what I'm saying? Faith still gives you, when he was a twister, excuse me, he was still basically still a boy about his voguing. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have, he wasn't all of that. You know, he was backflip spins, you know, an off-handle dip, da-da-da-da-da. He gave you what it actually was. These kids now are Vogue Femme Max. So basically, why are you walking Realness with a Twist? Then models just go ahead and be Vogue Femme. True or false?
Okay, did that answer your question? Caller?
Did he leave? Did they call or leave? Is there,
okay.
Is there, can we ask Kelly, or maybe you can tell, is there 347-215, no, I'm sorry, that's what the, 917-204 number on the board?
No, but there's a 908-342, caller, are you there?
Who?
908-342, caller, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
I can,
you.
Honey.
Hi, Jess. Hi, Cabot.
Hi, baby.
This is Claudia Milan. I have a cold, so I'm under the weather right now.
Oh.
I was calling because I was listening to the part about when y'all was talking about Armani, and I remember when he was a Supreme, because in the late 90s, before I moved to, my family uprooted and moved to Jersey, I'm originally from Virginia, and I remember the first ball they had in Virginia. It was like in 95 or 96 when the House of Finesse gave the first ball. And that was like my first time ever seeing like Jack. And I remember when Sicky B had came down and turned the House of Finesse until he took the numbers and they all became Milan's.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one for Kelly too. I remember I remember back in like 98, and I had never, you know, back then, they had like drag rooms, and I had never seen, this was the first time, like, you know, most girls that walk drag rooms used to put the wigs on and, you know, come out there and walk drag rooms. And I remember Jack had brought Kelly down to Virginia, and she slayed all the girls with a short, it was like a, you know how her hair was now, it was like a short haircut. It was like blonde, like Andre blonde. And she beat all the girls. And that was the first time I had ever seen a butch queen in drag, like, just win outright without a wig on. And I was like, wow.
But that was a butch queen.
Right, and that was what the category was. Right.
It was butch queen and drag realness. And I remember, you know, the girls used to put, you know, they just wore wigs and everything. But that was the first time I ever seen a butch queen and drag come down and went outright without putting on a wig. She just had her real hair with it.
So that was your moment of saying that, wow, a drag can walk and win without having all this mane and ponytail.
Right, and I was like, she had on, of course, she was in drag, she had on girl clothes, and it was basically, she didn't even have a wig on. And I was like, wow. And I mean, that's when I had got the inspiration of just, you know, you can wear your own hair. You don't need to, you don't have to put a wig on and walk with category or whatever.
Are you saying that kind of changed you? It made you feel like, okay, I don't have to have mane to be real. I can be for drag realness. I can just be short hair. I can have a Caesar and still be
right.
Real.
Right. Okay.
Like Miss Gloria used to do, Gloria Mizrahi, rather known as Gloria Mizrahi used to walk in a bald head for Butch Queen and Drag's runway.
Yes.
But she looked like cunt, but remember now, when Miss Gloria was finished with the ball, she walked around as a Butch Queen all the time. Only time that she got in drag was for a ball. That was Butch Queen and Drag's runway. She didn't walk Femme Queen runway, and she didn't walk Butch Queen runway. She walked Butch Queen and Drag's runway.
Right.
Yeah.
And honestly, to add to that, too, what fueled that was Sable Milan, one of my closest friends. Same thing with a bald head. And still, you know what I'm saying? And then to add to, go to the Femme Queen side of it, one of the most prolific, one of the two Femme Queens that can wear a bald head or a Caesar was Shanice. Ebony, or Tanya Prada, who was still real. So having mane and having hair does not make you cunt. You know what I'm saying? You know? It doesn't, and that's what you're saying. Kelly taught you, she showed you that I don't have to have all this, I don't have to have a pixie hairdo, I don't have to have all this hair. I can just be natural and still be cunt.
Right, still be real about the whole situation.
Right, and I remember, like, also, like, when Butch Queen and Drags was actually Butch Queen and Drags, like, I remember when, and this is one of my highlights, I remember in 2004, it was, like, my third ball, and it was, like, the Ebony Ball 2004, I think it was at the Mini Sink Townhouse.
Oh, the anniversary ball, yes, the anniversary ball.
And I remember I came, and I had, you had to come as a boy first, and I came out as a boy, and I drew my facial hair or everything, and then I came back. I went back in drag, and I had won because I was a little allure then. And I remember how, like, they were wild over that. But now it's like the Butch Queen and Drags are, like, kind of like femme queens, man. So it's like, you know,
they're not
in it every day. So
queens.
It's like.
Right, because
like
the Butch Queen of Drag, honestly, sometimes the Butch Queen of Drag used to almost get in drag just barely had a ball back in the day.
That's what I'm saying.
They're not on the stroll and drag. They're not hanging out in the village dress. It's we're at a ball. I'm in drag. I'm cut for the day. Da da da. I can't wait to get up out of this shit because I like being a Butch Queen. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because
what I'm saying is basically, I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying, like, okay, like, you know how Most of the Butch Queen and Drags, a lot of Butch Queen and Drags that walk those categories, with the exception of drag space or whatever, a lot of them stay in drag. Like, I remember I used to peel after every ball, and my whole purpose of peeling, because I knew at that time I didn't want to be a girl. It was just for the ball, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of girls now, they stay in it, you know? So, That's all I was just saying. That's a big
And, you know, believe it or not, I understand where you're coming from. And right after this, Derek, we have to go to a commercial break. But let me tell you one thing. Ms. Selvin has a good idea now. And this is the new idea. If your hair is sewn in, you are not a butch queen in drag.
Right.
If it's
right.
not a wig or it's not your own hair, your
right.
hair cannot be glued or sewn in. And I think
and
that is a
and all
rule
that.
That should stick to the end of time. When you say butch queen in drag, that means that you get in drag for the ball. Not for the ball, and tomorrow you'll be out on the stroll, and the next day you'll be in Sears, and everything like that. Butch queen and drag mean I am a butch queen for the moment.
Right.
Right. Right.
Okay.
I'm a drag for the moment. And this moment only, and that's all I care about. I like being a butch queen, and I like that.
You know I come in from time to time, but what about the butch queen and drags that have the weaves? But when you see them in the street in the daytime, those weaves is underneath the do-rag, and they're bush queens.
That's a lot, Kelly.
No.
Because,
believe it or not,
no,
Kelly, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's a lot of them that do that. They get
Ms.
the weaves
Lonnie
sewn
used to
in. They get the weaves sewn in, and they peel out of drags, and when you see them in the daytime, that weave is wrapped around in a wrap, and they got a do-rag on, and they're boys. It's a lot of the girls that do that.
Yeah, she has a point. They do
that. That is true, but again, if you are walking butch queen in drags, take the weave out. That's
yeah.
it, period. Take
the only thing
weave
I can tell the girls is
out.
they need to do like I did when I was a butch queen in drag. Baby, when I was uptown in Harlem, I stayed a butch queen. When I went downtown to the Village or to a ball, I was a motherfucking boy. I mean, I was a girl. I never
right.
came out as a boy, honey. When it was time to go out as a girl, I was a girl. I was in Harlem. I was a boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hold on, y'all. Nicole is on the line. I guess she got something to say.
All right.
Well,
thank you, baby.
Yes. Hi. What's up to everybody on the panel? I got my
hey,
nutcracker. Hi. And I have my nutcracker, and I'm so happy that y'all got to that topic. Could we please? I am not, and nor have I ever been since the 99s, a female figure. The problem is that butch queen in drags are staying in drags, and now we have to give them a different name called female figure. But that shit is crazy. If you are a butch queen in drags and you walk butch queen in drags category, when I see you on a normal basis, you are a boy. When you come into the board or walk wherever it is that you walk, you are a girl. That is the difference. You are not a girl at every single ball. You do not go out every day. Once you do that, now you are transitioning into a fem queen. Stop the female figure. I don't see that. What is a female fucking figure? Well, that means it's Cabbage. You're going to put, Auntie, I know you for years. You're going to go put on the wig, and now I'm going to say, Auntie, Cabbage is a female figure?
Oh, no, honey. I like being a butch queen. And again, what about this? Okay, here we got Kelly on the line.
Hold on, Cabbage. Can I say something before you say that? Now,
go ahead.
No, I don't want to discriminate against anybody. Now, what about the Puerto Rican butch queen up in drags with 16 and 18 inches of their own real hair? They what?
They are blessed to have long hair. That does not mean that we should go around changing the situation. What the fuck is a female figure? I've been out since 1994. We had butch queen in drags. You had fem queens. Now we got butch queen in drags, and the fem queens are added on to female figure? You telling me Tanae Pendarvis is a female figure?
I agree with you.
Let me use the science. It's a female figure.
There's no such thing as a female figure, because basically you cannot compare drag performance, a drag, anything, a woman. You can compare any genre of ballroom against another. You know what I'm saying? And again, those things, but when you have people that have balls that put that, Roy doesn't have that.
When we was coming up, we could not do that. And this
is what I can't take with these drags. We could not do that, Cabbage. You were sent on your way. You could not play like that. You couldn't come up there and say you was a butch queen of drags and you was moaning. And if you're a butch queen of drags, you should not have a weave in your hair.
Yeah.
You are a butch queen in drags.
Yeah.
Okay, this is
so
what
about
you're
this,
getting
Nicole?
In women clothing for the situation.
Here's a subject. Here's a subject for you that I want to see how you feel about this. What about butch queens that get pumped, body, lips, cheeks, everything, right? Butch queens all day long, mind you, they answer yes.
You getting ready to open up a whole nother door.
She is about to open a Pandora's box on my motherfucking nutcracker.
It's not a bad conversation, but I know there's callers.
It is for me.
I feel you on that. And that's a whole nother conversation about transitioning.
Okay,
transitioning
and the butch queen is getting
about transition. That's a whole nother conversation.
Y'all
about
talking about the butch queen and drags, and I, as y'all talking about, y'all should get it correct. And I bet not ever anybody call me a female figure. That is fucking crazy. I am nobody. And Kelly, you are not a female figure. You are a femme queen. FQ. That's what used to be on the flyers. FQ, butch queen and drag. BQD. That's what he was. Fuck is this female?
So what are we going to? So then, what do you do about all the sex changes, Nicole?
Well, I mean, they would be called sex changes. That's a different thing. But, all right, we got sex change, we have female figures, and we have butch queen and drags. We are not going to have female figure. We're not going to. No, we got
to
respect
so
the ladies too.
I need to ask a question. Go ahead.
Thread lightly.
If they have female figure performance, open to all performance, for $10,000 performance, open to all performance, and that's for the old way, the new way, stretch, anything, female figure. Nicole's not going to walk for that $10,000.
Hell fucking no. Hell no, no, no. Money cannot change my motherfucking character. I'm not a female figure performer, so I'm not going to be walking as a female figure performer.
And you want to know what? And that's what keeps everybody true to the game, right there. And
hey,
see, that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing, Kelly, that you had to put a price tag on it to make somebody think about what it was. If it's not my category, it's not, like I tell anybody right now, I am not going to walk away if they don't call out legendary Olway. What am I doing walking regular Olway if they didn't call legendary Olway? That's
so
not
they
for
let
me.
All the new chill went over you and then called them legendary.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, 917-204, you're live on the AL Classic Tuesday.
I got my cocktail, you know.
917-204, you're live on the AL Classic Tuesday.
Hello?
Okay, they're gone, okay.
No, they're there.
516.
No, they're here.
Hello?
Oh, Kelly, you can't hear me?
Oh,
so
hi,
I can't hear you. You got to speak up. You speak it. You speak it so low, honey.
That's how my voice is, baby.
Hey, Roy.
Hi, Roy. What's going on? Are you prepared for everybody for your ball in November?
Say again?
Are you ready for your ball in November?
Yeah, I'm getting ready. I'm just about ready.
Roy. Can I ask you a question?
What more can you do?
This is Nicole, Icon me, Nicole.
Nicole, what's
going on? Hi, I love you so much, but can I ask you, do you have female figure on your thing too, on your flyer?
He has femme queen.
Iconic. You see, now that's everybody with realness is all about that just hit the phone. That's iconic. Y'all need to stop this female figure thing. They need to understand the difference, and that's why, you heard what Sanaya said, why would I get on the floor with a bunch of people? She said female figure performance for $1,000, Kelly. I got wigs, people jumping off Baxter's, they cast a harder than a bone, and this is a female figure performer? No. Oh, that's a man with a wig. That's a butch queen in drags.
And that's the way
right.
It should stay.
And that's what it, and Roy being effective, my brother is old school, and he said, I do not see that lumping up together. He comes from an old school. Here's a Sim Queen performance, Femme Fatale, in honor of mother icon Danielle Revlon, bringing in heels and a ponytail. That is it.
Y'all heard that? And if you're not a Femme Queen, you're not walking.
Exactly. And but you shouldn't be walking. You already know. This also goes back to the parents. If they read the flyer did not say female figure. It says Femme Queen. That means you've been moaning. That means you got titties.
I think all the house parents and leaders and stuff should gather together because we all have to come together and they should stop their children from that dozen of walking categories that does not apply to their status or who they are. Female.
I have a question in the chat room. They want to know what makes a femme queen a femme queen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Miss Nicole. Hold on, Miss Nicole.
One reason makes a femme queen a femme queen is because my name legally.
Hold on, Nicole. Hold on. I can't say what makes a femme queen, because everybody else has a total different definition about what makes a femme queen. And in all my years of being out, I was born pussy, okay? The only thing I enhanced on my body was my titties. I came out my motherfucking
Your femininity does not make you a femme queen. Your femininity does not make you a femme queen.
Hold on, Nicole. Because some people say that you have to moan and be a femme queen and all of that stuff. And I have to highly disagree with you at the moan to be a femme queen, because I'm a fab motherfucking femme queen.
Mm-hmm.
And all my years of being out of this
don't open that box on this phone with me. No, you not. No, the fuck you not. Don't sit here and say that. How dare you? So you want to get red then. That's what's going to happen.
13 minutes.
Why? Okay, y'all, listen.
Because how do you want to make a statement like that? What type of female figure are you? What are you talking about? What makes a femme queen is the fact that you moan, you grow titties, you go through a process of being a woman, and if you have not went through that process, you are not a femme queen. So you're not a femme queen, Kelly.
Right. Let me explain something to you, Nicole.
I guess I'm not a femme queen then.
But that's bullshit. Let me tell you why. Kelly did not start moaning until just a few years ago.
Well, she still moaned, so she still made herself a fucking femme queen.
And that's when they accepted
her as a woman a couple of years ago. So don't sit here and fucking say that not doing that is good for them. No, you want to be a femme queen, you moan, you go through the process, and you do
what you have to do as a lady.
Nicole,
what about the femme queens that don't moan, that can't moan?
You poor dear. Mm.
What about the girls that I know a femme queen person that was real close to me that could not take moans, and that was Cashmere. She could not take moans. They would make her deathly sick.
Don't go way back in time to justify the situation of the new millennium, Auntie. We're not going to even do that.
But history repeats itself, Nicole. How many years was it? I got a picture right here, right now, where you was nothing but a coach belt, a dress, and a pocketbook, and a little bit of lipstick in a hand.
And today, I am a femme queen. Post that picture up for me, and then they see my picture today, and then you will understand that's what makes you a femme queen. And by the way, my legal name is Nicole.
Hold on, because we got some callers. 267-584, you're live on the air on Classic Tuesday.
Please, not about femme queen. Can I get a bitch from go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Tanaka. I would like to answer the question about what makes a femme queen a
femme queen. Brother! Hi, Tanaka!
What's up, everybody?
Tanaka, don't you open no can of worms.
Tanaka!
The idea of becoming a femme queen, I'm speaking on the idea of becoming a femme queen first, is to moan, to grow flesh where your body, where a female would have flesh at, then to get silicone, not to build your body, but to enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's the idea of a femme queen. Like Cashmere, certain people like Lisa, they couldn't take hormones, but they never walked realness. They never walked body. They never walked anything that consists of women talking.
Mm-hmm. I have to holly you because I just started moaning 2 years ago, and I was a legendary motherfucking simp queen walking legendary realness, and I just started moaning 2 years ago.
I'm not going into that with you on my cocktail. I'm going to elaborate
because as long as I've been walking, I just know what you've been doing the last couple of years.
Right, when she started moaning.
And yeah, and I've been walking for 22 years. 88.
The fact of the matter is, and you need
that
flesh when you moan.
What
happened to the original show? Is this about hip-hop transition?
No, y'all opened a Pandora box when y'all started talking about drag queens and between and drags and this and that.
Okay, so let's...
I'm leaving. Don't call me no femme for femme.
Hold on, we got one more caller. 347-920. You're live on the AL Classic Tuesdays.
Hey, what's up? I don't want to get off topic. I did ask a question in the chat room about what makes a femme queen a femme queen. Hold on, though. I'm going to take y'all back just a little bit because this is what the topic is about. Like, my favorite moment right now in the ballroom was when, I think it was like the Icon Ball. I went to the Icon Ball and Ashley was like blessing up the place and she was talking about Jesus. And I really think that that was like an empowering moment for me because I had really struggled with being a Christian man and being gay and being involved in the ballroom and stuff like that. So that was cool for me. But the reason why I asked what makes a femme queen is because I always work with the idea that is no turning back once you get work done to your body. Like, you have silicone put in your chest or in your body. You know what I'm saying? To make chips and ass and all of that. So that's what I always felt like with a femme queen. Because if you're just a butch queen and dress, you could be moaning, but you could stop moaning and let that moan out and go back to being a boy.
You think
so?
So
much work if you ask me.
Okay, you know what? I can understand where you're coming from. Because so then what you're saying is that they call that a mistake. They made a mistake.
It's a story of most of the girl's life.
Can I elaborate on that? I think that, like, my gay mother is a femme queen, and she used to hold groups and stuff like that with transgender women, and she used to say all the time that a lot of transgender women... Hello?
Yeah,
we're listening.
A lot of transgender women go through, it is a psychological change, and a lot of transgender women don't necessarily survive the transition, meaning that a lot of them do wind up mentally unstable and things of that nature, because it's not something that they're necessarily sure about. Now, I would have to see some type of hard facts to elaborate on that. You know, I'll say that it's true personally. This is something that was told to me. But I would say...
No, that's very true.
I would say that there is no way that you can change your gender. You can change your way of life without doing it gradually. And I'm pretty sure that some people are like a little unsure about it. You can't really say that somebody's going to do that and that they're not having at some point, you know, a little unsurety about it. I think personally, this is just me, I think that you always have to have faith in God that no matter what, you know what I'm saying, you go through, he's going to take care of you, and that, you know what I'm saying, you're doing the right thing that God really intends for you. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about it. But that's why I asked the question.
Amen to that.
Thank you very much.
I'm about to hit it on y'all, but the fact of the matter is this. If you are not a butch queen in drag, and you get in drag, get in drag.
I'm so sorry, Cabbage, that we came and to change the subject of the show. But the call, I'm sorry, Cabbage and Derek. I got a red phone text that just came through, and they said, please ask Nicole how do you consider moaning becoming a femme queen when half of y'all shoot the moans out anyway.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for everyone else, but this is another thing about becoming a lady. Whatever you take out, you must put back in. That's in your bank account. That's in your house. That's in your drawers. That's in your closet. Whatever you take out will return. As far as I go, if anything is coming out, the next day is going back.
Thank you, baby.
Bye, Nicole. We put it back on me. I'm out of here. I love everybody. We'll be here tomorrow night for the Visa Ball Cabbage. You got 4 minutes left.
Okay, Derek, go ahead.
You got 20.
Okay, Derek, go ahead. Next week, do you have any idea what we're going to do next week?
At least three or four callers or something.
Is there any callers left online, Kelly? Nope. No more callers. So you know what? Okay, here's how it goes, Derek. Next week, we'll pick this subject up, and then we'll go to something else, too. So we'll finish this segment, and then next week, we'll go to something else. Probably during the halftime, I can get Eric on, and we can do the beginning of this segment, the ending of this segment this week, next week. And then we'll get Eric on.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Caller, are you there?
Private caller, you're live on the air.
No.
Okay, I guess they don't want to talk.
Okay, so we'll finish it up like that next week. So probably for the half of the show, I'm going to try to track down Eric Mugler, and then I'm going to find out, will he come on, and if it's yes, we'll give him half of the show with all of us, and then we'll finish off this segment of Our Bitch Moments. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you go ahead and you give your... Have a nice night. It's been nice. We'll see you later, and then I'll do mine, and then we'll cut it off, and because I'm in this chat room deeply. So go ahead, Derek.
Well, I just wanted to say my last word before we got sidetracked. I want to actually thank Roy, who's his ball is November, the advertiser, his ball is November 20th at the Ridgewood Masonic Temple on Gates and Bushwick Avenue, and y'all girls know where Bushwick Avenue is. And November 20th, there is a really real ball. And also another upcoming ball, my house father, the founding father of the House of Ebony, and his best friend of 35 years, David Ebony Extravaganza Ultima, is having their ball January 29th at the Lincoln Center, just to advertise those two balls. And just for the community, like I said, this show started off in basically about moments that were fantastic in the ballroom scene. And we've talked about it, and I thank the people that came on and expressed it. And hopefully we'll continue it on next week sometime in the beginning for people who will get on and express some moments. And I just want to say just good night to everybody, okay?
All right, everybody. This is, the newest icon, Cabbage Ebony. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I hope next week we have just as much fun as we had this week. Nicole, thank you for coming on. Tiny, one congratulations and kisses for me forever. You know I love you forever and a day, Corinne. And everybody else, all my callers that called in, thank you very much. And next week, everybody, push one. There's no problem in pushing one. Ask us the craziest questions that you have. Regardless of what the question is, ask it. It might be informative to somebody else. Please, y'all. And another thing, when you go out tonight, when you creep around, make sure you tell the date, friend, fella, or the man next door, here's a condom. Let's all ride safely. Now, y'all, everybody have a good night and have a blessed week. And I'll see you next week here on Tasty Classic Tuesdays. Thank you and have a nice bye-bye.
I can be a freak. 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 I can be a freak every day of every week.
This is something that I love. Listen, I'm about to teach. Every single girl should embrace that. Don't be scared, don't be shy, if you gotta let it breathe. I can give instructions if you like to hear me speak. Let me see those hands up slow, let me see those never give. Kiss and tap and pull up here, breaking your bitch in here. You wanna see you get down low, you wanna hear you, here you go.
I can be a freak every day of every week.
However you want it.
I can be a freak every day of every week.
Yeah.
every week. Freak every day of every week.
Yes, they tell you you so fly, right down to the shoes. Wanna spin these fellas round, ladies.